Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 22nd of December, recording at 8:25 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. That means I'm recording 35 minutes before the before Wall Street is actually closed. But there's plenty to talk about here today on this reduced trading activity day due to the imminent holiday season. First, a quick review. Asian stock markets, probably more slightly lower, no big moves. Exceptions to that trend, Taiwan had a good day, as did the Philippines. India also checked its slide with a modest bounce. European stock markets, importantly, in my opinion, had some pretty good gains here. Most of them are all above. Most of them are above 1%, including the UK up 1.25% and the DAX up 105%. And the Americas are steady as well. Slightly more modest gains, except for Brazil, which is up 1.23% as I speak. The S&P is up nearly 11 points as I speak. That takes it up to 1254 and change. Long-dated government bond prices, slightly easier in Europe. At the moment, they're fraction steadier in the U.S., but minimally so. The U.S. dollar index just about unchanged, just below the 80 level. Overall, the euro is at 130.51. That is to be not at 135. And sterling's at 156.80. Now, gold seesawed a little bit, although mostly lower, and that's where it is right now at 16.04 and 80 cents. Palladium is firmer, but silver and platinum are a little lower here today. Crude oil WTI is steady at 99.5. Brent barely changed, 107 and change. Slightly more commodities higher on the day than down, and that includes three out of the four from the grain and bean complex. Rough rice is the exception, down a little bit. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, it's still, for the most part, all eyes focused on Europe, and I'm encouraged by today's rally, which is what I have thought we should see following ECB President Mario Draghi's announcement yesterday, the day before yesterday, to increase loans to the European banks, giving them cheap loans, currently 1%, which is Euroland's bank rate. And Mr. Draghi has cut that by half, by 50 basis points since he took over from Mr. Trichet. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if we didn't see a further 25 basis point cut or two in the new year. But effectively, and I mentioned this in last night's audio as well, is that what we're seeing is really a chapter from the Fed's book, and which we've seen from 2000 and since the fourth quarter of 2008, and also during earlier crises, of helping the banks, the European banks, to recapitalize themselves through the yield curve. Now, in other words, they can borrow at 1% from the ECB and on a three-year basis. Well, let me finish. On a three-year basis, and they can then take that money, and they have a free hand to do with it as they wish. But it's kind of obvious that some of that money, at least, if not all of it, should be invested in the short to medium term maturities, the government debt, within their own respective countries. And so that would give them several hundred basis points more interest rates in Spain and Italy, for instance. And the move greatly lowers the default risk and the prospects of a Lehman moment among the banks themselves. So I see this as a clever move by the ECB, probably an overdue move overall. I don't see why Mr. Trichet had not done this during his tenure. And if the prospect, as I mentioned yesterday, also in comment, if the prospect is that we have now considerably reduced the chances of a Lehman moment among the European banks for the next 3 years, that's no small achievement. And if this also frees up lending somewhat within the European area, for that we need to watch the TED spread, the European TED spread, and I have posted that today in comment. It has come off a recent high, but hopefully it comes significantly lower over the next few months. But again, I regard this as a favorable development, clearly. Now, I've also been saying in these audios that I was very much aware of a growing consensus, at least in the media that I see, which is mostly British and North American, but also from Asia, and seeing comments from Asia, that there was a consensus that the euro was likely to break up. And a number of people have been saying, well, that the euro should break up. The opinion on whether or not the euro should break up is totally irrelevant in my view, because I've always regarded this as a political construct and have said that frequently. And what really counts in terms of today's reality is that if the Europeans want to keep the euro together, and they have been adamant in stating that they actually do, at least the politicians and the leading business people and the bureaucrats that run Euroland have all stated this repeatedly, loudly and clearly. And they certainly have the wherewithal to do that. So I take them at their word on that. But I've also said for years that if any individual country wanted to leave the euro, let's say take Greece for example, which would be the most likely candidate, I've always said that it didn't make sense that the euro was a club that you could only join but never leave, although there is certainly no mechanism in place for someone exiting the euro. Now, a number of people feel that Greece should have never been let in to the euro. Well, perhaps, but it'll be up to Greece probably as to whether or not it stays in. I think it would be difficult for Greece to be thrown out. But the bottom line point on this is that I think the consensus on a euro breakup is wrong and misunderstands the situation. And I've said this before. And but again, that is all based on the fact that if they wish to hold it together, they can, and they have made it, to repeat myself, they've made it very clear that that's exactly what they wish to do. I also think that Mario Draghi would not be adverse to engineering the euro somewhat lower. He certainly doesn't want any sort of extremely sharp fall, but Europe needs growth. That's the obvious point. And a somewhat weaker euro would help in that respect. A very sharp decline would not, because that would revive fears and views that that the euro was going to fall apart. Okay, enough on all that. I've posted a number of the weekly charts for European indices here today, and they're fairly similar. For the most part, the southern European ones in France are weaker, but all are in ranges right now. And all, I think, but Greece showed lows in that September and October period. And if we take DAX and OMX and AEX, take the Northern European indices, also take the UK index, which would be affected by this, they're just below their exponential moving averages, 200-day moving averages, and ranging in what looks like support building to me, or it certainly has a number of the characteristics of support building, base formation characteristics, if you will. But we also know that these same indices are in overall downward trends determined by, and these are medium-term downward trends, determined by the progressions of lower rally highs. So if we look at these, the main trend is down, the short-term trend is sideways to slightly higher. We do have rising lows, and we are close to these declining still 200-day moving averages. Now, given all the bearish sentiment regarding the euro and stock markets generally, because there's been a fear contagion around the globe, it would not take very much to push a number of these indices back above their moving averages, as we're seeing with the S&P now, and as we've seen with some of the AZN stock market indices. Now, going back to consensus views, I have heard it often enough to feel that there's quite a strong consensus view that the first half of 2012 is going to be very tough, a bad one for markets, but that the second half might be better. There are people who are more bearish than that, and there are people who are less bearish than that. But I think there's a significant minority, if not a majority, who hold the view that I've just mentioned. Now, let's just say that was first. Let's look at what that tells us about sentiment generally, and what it tells us, what that sentiment tells us about their positions, rather. People who are bearish are either short or have a lot of cash, or both. And here we are with the ECB doing what central banks should do, and making capital available to its regional banks. And if that improves sentiment just enough to push the stock market indices back above their declining 200-day moving averages, but also, and this is crucial, break the last lower high, break the progression, in other words, of lower rally highs within those European indices, sentiment could change quite quickly. And that could lead to a self-feeding move where a fair amount of that cash came in off the sidelines. Now, I'll be guided, Fuller Money will always be guided by the charts on this. And if that's too optimistic, or if I'm just or just dead outright wrong, the evidence that we would see would be, well, for some of the stronger indices, it would first be a break below the low that we saw last week. More importantly, it would be a break beneath the late November low for those indices. And it would certainly be a break beneath the September and October lows, because that would just be reconfirming the overall downward trends and lower scope to follow. But that's not what's occurring here right now. And with this steadying action that we see, and with the background of sentiment that we actually see, with a lot of cash on the sidelines, I think that any kind of re-rating, which involves some of a number of those extremely bearish views moderating, that could trigger the self-feeding cyclical bull phase that Ellen and I have both mentioned. So bottom line, while those September and October lows hold, I still feel that what we are seeing here is the end of the cyclical bear, which of course coincides with the beginning of the cyclical bull, evidenced by activity that looks like base formation development to me. And the background for all this is very accommodative monetary policy in the West and the beginnings of less restrictive monetary policy among the growth economies. Okay, now what about gold? And again, I repeat the point that the technical damage that we have seen recently occurred rapidly enough and from a triangular shaped pattern to have, I suspect, caught out a fair number of people, and indeed it caught me out on a trading position. And so I maintain that there are probably a number of people who, in the short term at any rate, would be quite happy to lighten positions were gold to rally. So that's the supply that knocks back the short-term rallies. I also think that I've said that around 600 we've seen, I beg your pardon, around 1600, where we are today, a little bit more, we have seen just over $300 to the downside by gold from its high in September, and that my estimate of the risk would be that it's probably not going to exceed another $200 to the downside. If that's too conservative, I think it would take a very bearish development in stock markets, including a dramatic increase in euro area fears, just to lead to a more aggressive move to cash. So that's the contagion risk for gold, but that's the outside. That's the outside possibility. Chances are, though, that we get some ranging with gold attempting to form some sort of floor in here, and then eventually participating in another recovery. I don't think that we've seen the end of the secular bull, but at the moment, we're certainly in a medium-term corrective phase for all precious metals, and they have yet to clearly establish a new low. So that's the bottom line on that in terms of overall technical outlook. And in terms of the dollar, again, I think it will take its cue from stock markets more often than not. If we're going to get a more bullish phase for the rest of this year in the quiet days trading ahead, which I suspect, and if we get that spilling over into January, as I suspect, I would think that the dollar would probably ease back, particularly against the growth currencies. If I'm wrong, and if stock markets were to go into a tailspin, then there's little doubt in my mind that we would see government bond yields go down, and we would see the U.S. dollar go up. And on that note, all the best.